Hello and welcome to 35 Minute Movies, the Emma Stoner's edition. This is the podcast where we're going through Emma Stone's entire filmography and we're ranking and reviewing as we go. I'm joined by Emma Stone's number one fan. I don't even know, did we count you as that yet? Are we sure?
I don't know. I think it's still a bit of a toss-up between you and I.
Still a toss-up. Awais, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk about these movies. We've sort of been discussing them very briefly in our sort of while we were getting set up, and I think we have some thoughts today.
Some differing opinions, yes. It's an interesting
which is nice.
It's an interesting week in the fact that it's another early Emma Stone, so we're talking about two of her comedies from the early the late 2000s. So it's it's interesting to see how she's kind of, we'll talk about it a little bit further on, but how she's kind of progressed from there to where she is now. So shall we just roll straight into the first film of the day then? The first one we're talking about is The House Bunny. It's directed by Fred Wolf and came out in 2008. Awais, can you tell me about the plot to this movie?
Yeah, so Anna Faris basically plays Shelley Darlingson, who was like an orphan. That's, she starts the film basically by talking about her like childhood and how it was like really rough and stuff, and then she becomes like a Playboy bunny. But then when it's her 27th birthday, there's like a little sort of mishap with letters, and she's ends up sort of being kicked out the mansion, and sort of not knowing what to do, having no money and sort of no plan, she decides to take in a really down in their luck sorority, or I guess they take her in, as to be their house mother. And basically the whole plot is her trying to get this sorority 30 pledges to save them, and you know, they sort of, it's like a really nerdy sorority, and they learn to sort of embrace their inner beauty, and it's like there's sort of this very unlikely pairing between the two.
Inner beauty or outer beauty, depending on the way you look
at it. I was about to say, yeah, maybe not inner beauty. Yeah, maybe not inner beauty.
This film has questionable messaging, to say the least, I would say.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, do you want to talk about, I guess, the comedy of it? Because it is a Happy Madison comedy. It's produced by Adam Sandler. I found it to be really tiring. Like, it was not for me whatsoever. Like, it was just so boring, and I think a lot of the jokes just don't land whatsoever. Like, and full credit to Anna Faris, who is, for her time, was a massive superstar in these kind of films. Like, we go back in time, this was her entire wheelhouse, was these kind of I don't want to say low intelligence, because I feel like it's just kind of like putting her down, but for no sake of it, but these low intelligence sort of comedies from this from the time, this was her entire wheelhouse. She was doing stuff like this. She was in The Dictatorship, she was in, I can't remember where else was she in, but you know what I mean? She was in loads of other films of this kind of caliber. And
playing the same role as well, like the Dipsy sort of blonde.
Dipsy blonde. And and no one else could have done this, I don't think. No one else could have played her character whatsoever. It was fair play to her. She did play it well. I just think I think the writing was quite weak for the jokes, and I thought the entire movie she had to sort of play in was just really boring, I thought. But
yeah.
As much as it is kind of I don't know, like a slightly uncomfortable, I guess, as well. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah. I agree to an extent. I didn't mind it too much. Some of the humor worked. It's very much a product of its time, I think. And I think it was a sort of easy watch. It's like very short, it's like 97 minutes. Very colourful, there's a lot going on. Like, there was enough sort of for me to gravitate towards. The main sort of thing that kept me watching was Emma Stone, who I thought was really good in her sort of role. She's the sort of like leader of the sorority. She's like the sort of main girl taking the sort of responsibilities of the sorority on her shoulders. And I think she's so charismatic that she can just, you know, carry an entire film. We were talking about the sort of messages of it and the sort of themes. It's not exactly the best. Like, you know, it is really a film that's telling you to, like, not be yourself.
Even though it's sort of
disguised. In order to...
It sort of tries to wrap up as almost it said, like, yeah, be yourself. But at the same time, it didn't. It didn't wrap up like that at all. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know if it did, really. Like, it didn't seem like it... it seemed like maybe it was going to be like, oh, you know, like, the way it sort of played out, it seemed like the whole film was like, don't be yourself. And then it was going to conclude with, no, be yourself. But it didn't really wrap up like that, I don't think.
No. Because it ends, so they start off really nerdy. They start off in obviously all like the browns and all like loads of clothes, and they all sort of like glasses and stuff. And then obviously they go for the transformation to become sort of like bunnies, I guess, like the sort of like that. So they wear like Emma Stone dyes her hair blonde, does she not? And then she dyes her hair, it depends, I guess, because Emma Stone is a natural blonde, does she not? But she dyes her hair blonde, the character dyes her hair blonde, they all kind of strip off to like just sort of like short shorts and stuff like that, and they all sort of walk around as if they're for all these parties and that. And then they have a sort of like, well, they have a predicament, like a moral predicament at the end, where they're sort of like, well, we can't say, like, we need to kind of like conflict where it's like, oh, well, we can't be happy with where we are now. We've got to go for that change again. So they go back to a midway between the point. But and they act as if like that's who they really are. And like all needed was that boost to become who they are on the inside. But they seemed all very comfortable who they were beforehand. There was nothing truly wrong with them. It was just a case of like they had different sensibilities to everyone else in the college. Yeah. So now they're stuck here where they've got to be like, well, I can be smart and beautiful at the same time. And you're just sort of like,
But it's like they don't, but it doesn't do it in a very natural way. It still feels very tactless. And I think, it just sort of wrong. You know, it's like, you can be yourself and you can be beautiful, but it doesn't do it in a way that's like really embrace yourself. It's do it in a way that's, you know, they still felt very fake to me, I think. Which I agree with for sure. I don't know. I've not seen many of like Anna Faris's sort of, you know, early 2000 films, but I was quite I quite enjoyed her sort of energy. She brings a good energy to this.
Yes.
Quite annoying in parts, but also quite amusing. There is a dynamic thrown in there. There's like a, you know, you talked about it earlier, sort of that like conflict. There's like a sorority rivalry that was thrown in there. That was just so crap.
It just isn't
and unnecessary.
Nothing felt necessary. That's the thing. It felt like a lot of it felt unnecessary in a way. It didn't feel natural in any way. It just sort of, everything happened because it had to happen. There was no I don't think, like, obviously it's a 2008 movie. It's been out for ages and it's a comedy. I mean, this is not going to ruin your dream. I'm going to spoil it slightly. The Playboy bunny that pretends to write the letter on behalf of Hugh Hefner, it felt like it came out of nowhere. It just didn't feel like, I don't know, it just didn't feel earned. It didn't, there was no rivalry between them beforehand, really, that it was sort of like,
and they
that.
Didn't resolve it either, really. No, did they
just kicked her out and that was it,
that
end
was
of,
it
end of story. Another point we could slightly mention, just I don't have a lot to say in this movie other than it just wasn't very enjoyable for me, at least. Colin Hanks in this film, son of Tom, they also have the relationship where she sort of has to try and pretend to be this smart person that she's not. This is sort of, and I guess that's sort of where it's getting at. Like, everyone has to like be somewhere in the middle. They're always like, be somewhere in the middle. Like, it's never like, be who you truly are. Just be better than you are, but not completely better than you are. Like,
be like a little bit fake. Yeah, pretty much.
But I just didn't realize Colin Hanks was in more movies than just Jumanji, to be honest. You don't see that man a lot.
No, I thought that dynamic really pissed me off, and I'll tell you why. It's like she kept ruining the dates, really badly. They were like it was cringy to, it was supposed to be cringy to watch, and it was, and like that's how badly the dates kept getting ruined. And this guy still, like, they still got their happy ending. I'm like, how? Like, nothing's, like, you know, he gave her another shot, but, like,
I guess it was
nothing
because she was supposed to be quite endearing with it, though. Like, I guess it sort of semi-played off like that. Like, she was trying her hardest for every date,
but, like,
I guess.
He didn't like that. He didn't
I know. They didn't feel right for each other at all. There wasn't even, like, the spark. 100%. The chemistry was off because it didn't even feel like there was a spark of, like, something there. Alongside the fact that she keeps ruining the dates, it was just sort of like, I'm trying to force this relationship because the film needs another love interest. The film needs
a
love interest.
A happy ending, yeah.
Yeah, to give a happy ending. And I don't know. I don't know. It didn't feel great. But Emma, as always.
Yes, let's talk about Emma.
I feel like she's playing a very similar character that she played in The Rocker. In a similar character, she'll maybe go on to play in other things. It wasn't her best. I mean, it's 2008 Emma Stone. You can't really throw much of a hissy fit about it. I thought she still played a good part. I don't know how you felt about that.
I mean, I agree. I think she was the best part of the film, which is maybe not saying much. But, like, one thing that was sort of very apparent to me when I was watching it, and obviously, bear in mind, we are watching these films for Emma. And, like, so, you know, I don't know about you, but, like, I pay closer sort of attention to
you
that.
You look out for her, 100%.
Yeah. Whereas you might not sort of, if you were just watching it casually. But one thing I noticed in that mindset was, like, she's still really good in 2008. Like, obviously, everyone knows that she's a fantastic actress now. You know, she's got an Oscar and everything. But, like, one thing I noticed watching this was that, like, she was still believed, like, you know, I never once doubted her before. Like, it was still a really good performance, and this is, like, her third role. And, like, that's what was so apparent to me, was that, like, out the gate, she had that charisma and that sort of star power, and she was just so good and so early on in her career. And like, I really noticed that watching this.
She makes it. I think she does make the film. I mean, Anna Faris is good. I have to say, Anna Faris is really, like, there couldn't have been anyone else. Like I said, there couldn't be anyone else for this role. Yeah. She is perfect for what she's sort of been cast for. But Emma does provide something else, I guess. A really good sort of, like, accompaniment to Anna Faris in this film. And I think that's the best sort of compliment I can give it, is the fact that she does sort of just provide a really good sort of grounding, I don't want to say heart and soul, because she doesn't have a lot of, like, emotional moments or anything like that, but she provides a lot of just sort of, like, sensibility, I guess. She's very sensible. She's very, like,
100%.
She's very great in that sort of, like, sort of a compliment. Yeah, that's the best I can sort of give her for that.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think she's, like, definitely the best part of, like, a very mediocre movie, in my opinion.
100%. Do you want to rate the movie now? Have you got anything else you'd like to add before we move on?
Not
to the final
really.
Section?
I know I'm going to rate it higher than you. Like, I know we've sort of bagged on it a little bit, and, like, it's not a great movie, but, like, I think there's definitely enjoyment to be had from, I think, the silliness of it. If you sort of know what you're in for, which I think I sort of did. Then I think you can have a bit of fun with the sort of the very over the top nature of it, and I did, and I would give it 3 out of 5 for that reason. I thought it was okay. Thought it was not bad.
Yeah, I think I did. I don't know what I expected. I mean, this is a movie. I don't know about you, but I've seen this on bloody shelves leak on a, like, you know what I mean? It's always there. The House Bunny has always been there on DVD. A DVD copy of the House Bunny.
Blockbuster. It was always in Blockbuster.
Yeah, it was always sat on a shelf in Blockbuster, or, like, ended up on, like, a pile in, like HMV or something. Like, not HMV, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, Asda or something. You always saw House Bunny somewhere, or Poundland.
But did
for
you...
Reason.
But for you, was it ever, like... Because, like, something about it, to me, always seemed, like, very forbidden. Maybe because it was about, like, the Playboy Mansion.
I think it was, 100%.
And, like, so when I remember, vividly remember, like, seeing on, like, Blockbuster shelves and being, like, what is this movie? Like, it's one of these films that, it's just kicked about for a long time in everyone's psyche.
You always thought, like, because it's kind of disappointing in a way, because I guess, like, young Cameron's mind went, so is this, like... girls, like, you know what I mean? Is this like Scandal Grad Woman? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not allowed to watch this. I've always sort of wondered what it is. Then you realize it's just an Adam Sandler movie. Like an Adam Sandler, it's, like, it's, Happy
Madison
movie.
There's nothing that sort of like mysterious about it.
I think it's just, a 12 as well. Like, it's not even that bad. it's fine. But we were
10 when it came. I was 10 when it came out.
I was 8, I think, or like 8 or 9. So it's given it legend status in my mind because it's sort of been like, oh, I've always wondered what this movie is. But yeah, finally watching it, a bit disappointed. Anyway, we've gone a little bit off topic there. my rating, probably a 2. I was close to a 1, but I think I'll just stick with a 2. I think that's a bit. Yeah, but I think, I don't know if there is worse to come, but I want to save the 1 for something truly
I don't know if there is truly diabolical. I'm very curious to see.
Let me just bring up the scores while we're at here, actually.
Like if this is sort of as low as it gets, then I think that's a pretty good track record.
So next we're talking about The Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. It was directed by Mark Waters. It stars Matthew McConaughey and Jennifer Garner. Another supporting role from Emma Stone. Awais, can you tell me what the plot is for this movie?
Yeah, so it's a Christmas Carol, but with a sort of romantic twist to it. Matthew McConaughey plays Connor Mead, who's like this successful photographer, and he's basically going to his younger brother's wedding to convince him not to marry. And the rehearsal dinner is at their like dead uncle's estate. So when he arrives there, you know, he's just sort of ready to like just completely, you know, convince his brother not to marry, but then his dead uncle basically appears and is like, three girls are gonna come visit you, the ghosts of your girlfriend's past, present and future, and it's then, you know, that story goes in motion and he sort of has these realizations about his own life. And also at the wedding is Jenny, who's played by Jennifer Garner, who was his first girlfriend. And basically, the plot is like she's the person that he should have married, pretty much. And what did you think of it?
I thought this was better than The House Bunny, but I think I might be alone in this. I think it was just I don't think it's a good movie. I want to put that out there. I don't think it's a good movie. I just found it infinitely more watchable than The House Bunny. I think it was less annoying. I think, I mean, you could go into the gender politics this one as well, 100%, because we're sort of going into identity and gender politics the last section there. You could 100% talk about it in this film as well, because it is just atrocious. It's another late noughties movie at its finest. But Matthew McConaughey, I could listen to him read the phone book. Like, that's just sort of where I'm at with it. You know what I mean? So it's, I found it a little bit more amusing in some sections.
Yeah,
I found the story a little bit more engaging, I guess. But I guess I am just a toxic man. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a male. And I just found the overall sort of, I don't know, the rom-com-iness of it all a little bit more watchable, I guess. It's by no means is it a good movie at all. Yeah, like it's not a good. What initial thoughts from you? What were you? What are you thinking?
I mean, you're right, Matthew McConaughey is so watchable. I don't know if you've heard of it, but his sort of, he did that sleep story for Cam called Wonder. If you ever are like genuinely, if you're ever struggling to sleep, listen to that. I listen to that so often. It puts me to, oh my God, it's just
knocks
the best
you right
voice.
Out.
Just knocks me right out. It's so soothing. You know, he's still weirdly charming in this, despite the fact that his character's not the best. And
no, I
you mentioned the gender.
Abhorrent. He's very much
really bad.
The worst person you could possibly get. But
I feel like they try to make him charming. And I think that's what, like, really bothered me, is that by the end, he's supposed to be charming. He's supposed to, like, you know, and I'm just like, not convinced.
No.
You talk about the gender politics. this is also quite a bad. It's quite bad, and it's very sort of early 2000s. Which is what I was sort of talking to you about earlier. I mean, if you look at sort of like Emma Stone's choices now, she has a big say in obviously the film she does, and you know, if you look at movies like Battle of the Sexes and you know, The Favourite and stuff, and they're very sort of, you know, they're championing feminism and stuff, and it's just so interesting to me, because I am not familiar with her, like, early filmography, so, like, House Bunny, Ghost of Girlfriend Past, but I'm, like, more familiar with, like, her newer stuff, like, The Favourite and, you know, Battle of the Sexes, La La Land, and stuff like that, and it's just so interesting to me, like, seeing that very clear progression as an actress, and just in terms of, like, the choices she is able to make, because very early in her career, I doubt she was making, like, that many, you know, she's, as a young actor, you're probably just taking whatever scripts come your way.
Yeah.
And I think that's just so fascinating to me. I think that very clearly shows the kind of career trajectory that she's had from, like, movies like The House Bunny and this, The Ghost of Girlfriend Past, to, like, where she is now, and the sort of the themes and the messages and sort of how, you know, there's sort of disparity between the two.
100%. I think she has gained this, I don't want to say, I think respect, if it's respect the right word,
yeah.
She's gained this,
I
sort
think
of,
so.
And I think a lot of actors, I mean, she's gone from supporting comedy role, love interest, to leading lady in a way. I mean, Cruella proves it, I think, as well. One of the most recent releases, Cruella sort of proves the fact that she can sell a movie, she can lead him, carry that movie on her bloody shoulders.
She can lead
a
movie, yeah, 100%.
She really does know what she's doing. And I don't think she'd touch a role like this out of a 10-foot pole. She plays the Ghost of Girlfriend's Past, and
yeah.
She is in a good chunk of this movie. She's probably the most prominent ghost, I think.
I think
she
so,
is.
Yeah.
She plays like a 60, the person Connor lost his virginity to, I believe, or something like that.
Yeah.
At a party, and she plays that role. I don't know. It's not a film she would consider now. 100%, I agree with you like that. It's just,
I mean, she is good in it, I will say. Yeah. I think she's very good in it.
She plays her sort of charismatic, once again, charisma on her, like incredible, mm-hmm. like charismatic, really bubbly. It's a really great. It's not like it's a La La Land. It's not like it's Cruella. It's not like it's Battle of Sexes. It isn't any of that, but it's still, I don't know, like, easy enough to be one of the best parts of the movie, which is
100%.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, guess not hard, but it's you know what I mean. You get that?
No, 100%. I completely agree with you. I don't know. As far as the actual film itself, I wasn't a big fan of it. You're better off watching A Christmas Carol,
yeah,
or Groundhog Day, or just one of these kind of movies. I don't know. It's a very, you know, we talk about sort of Matthew McConaughey's career as well, who's also had this massive sort of, you know, change from like these very early 2000s cheesy rom-coms to like Oscar caliber movies. It's not one of his better rom-coms either. You know, this was back when he was like that sort of leading, you know, romantic actor. You know, like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, you know, films like that.
I didn't even know he did rom-coms. That's how little I sort of followed. I didn't even know he'd done rom-coms like this before. I thought this was just such like a random fluke role for him. Like,
no, it was like
lost
it was very
bet,
early on in his career. Yeah. Like, I think he was just, that. Those are the roles he was given, you know, and obviously understandably, he's like a very sort of attractive man, but I don't know this. I will say there are some really funny jokes in here.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is some good comedy, but it just feels like it's so inconsistent, and it just feels lost within a plot that just gets very convoluted, and characterization I think that gets very convoluted.
Yeah.
And it just, for what is essentially a simple story, a classic,
yeah.
it just bogs it down too much, I think, and that's what personally for me mm-hmm. ruined it a little bit. I made it a bit hard to watch.
Well. I guess, depending on what you look, it could have been worse, because obviously, I don't know if...
True.
We read about this just before going on. Kevin Smith was attached to direct alongside Ben Affleck to star. And I honestly can't think of... I mean, his early stuff really is good. Like, Clerks is good. I don't know if you've seen Clerks, stuff like that. Mallrats.
No, I've heard about his early films. I really
they're quite good in the indie capacity, but I think as he went on a bit, I think this would have been really cutting the... sort of milking the cow a bit too much there. I can't imagine this film having much better in terms of characterization of Connor.
Do you think he could have done more with it, though?
I don't think he could have done more. I think, do you know what this film needed? And I think this is really, it feels sort of like virtue signaling, I guess, slightly, but I think it needed the touch of a woman. I think if a woman had directed this or something,
yeah,
it would have been much better. I think this is one of the ones that called for it. It's sort of like that sort of, he could have, I think she could have, if someone, I don't even know who would have got in for this, like just some, just any woman.
Just someone to give it a once over because they've done
such a better job at, I guess, I think, making Connor more likable by the end, because they set him off too high, and you just can't get that kind of redemption an hour and 40. You know what I mean? You'd need a mini series to sort of get
100%.
Literally to clear that the skeletons out of that closet, because it is just atrocious.
I think by early 2000 standards, it's like, I mean, it's not even good by early 2000 standards, but like, especially now, sort of watching this for the first time in 2021, it's, you know, some of it just seems a bit crass and like offensive, and I'm like, just before we started, I was actually sort of just googling the film, and have you heard of like Common Sense Media, which is like a site for like parents to go to for like they so it was like just a mother being like, I watched this with my daughter and it's just the most appalling thing I've ever seen. Like, we had to cover her eyes for half of it. You know, like, just the messages in this are, like, so bad. She's like, we love Matthew McConaughey's rom-coms, but, like, this one's just so offensive and so rude. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. I'd love to see what kind of rating they get Common Sense Media itself gave it. I also don't even know what
did the BBFC...
Yeah, what did the BBFC... So this is a 12A. The BBFC have decided to give this a 12A.
Mm-hmm.
And that must be the hardest 12A going. Like, I can't imagine that being. I guess even just, I mean, there's not that much. Like, there's no swearing. I mean, the sex is all implied, but it just feels a lot. Like, you don't want to let your kid watch that. You know what I mean? It's not like, I don't know, it doesn't feel right.
Parents say age 15 plus, kids say age 13 plus. Common Sense says age 14 plus, which... Yeah.
Slap in the middle of what the parents in
Yeah, pretty much. For positive messages, it's 1 out of 5.
Can't get much worse than that.
you cannot get much worse than that.
No.
Here we go. I'll read you the pit. So the title of this review is the author is Parent of a 9-year-old. The title is Sexist and Poor Images of Women, Terrible Role Models. I recently watched this with my 9-year-old daughter and two boys, 12 and 13. My daughter is mature. I don't know why I find that so funny. This had very provocative scenes. Women are so poorly portrayed. They're overly sexed, promiscuous, and objectified. I don't usually write such comments, but I was shocked, I say, and embarrassed with my husband and had to cover her eyes or skip a lot of the scenes. It was awful. We've watched pretty much all of the rom-com chick flicks from Matthew McConaughey and we love them. But this one really bothered me. It's appalling.
Shocked, I say.
Shocked. The shocked, I say, is just the best bit.
My daughter is mature. And in my mind, it's just an old lady sitting next to her. Like, my daughter is mature. Is it just...
Her daughter is 9. Her daughter is 9, to be fair. Why are you showing a 9-year-old this movie?
I don't know. It's one of those ones where you've really got to do some reading. And I don't know. I don't know why they would... I wouldn't let your 9-year-old... I wouldn't let your 12-year-old watch it unless they are mature.
No. So, this one is age 16 plus. The attitude this film has about unmarried, uncommitted sex is just awful. No kid should watch this.
It's funny because, I mean, I'm not much of like, I'm not like a guy that's like, well, you gotta be told you have marriage to have sex. You know what I mean? I'm not about that life.
Yeah, no, neither. Yeah.
But it's, I mean, not to slut shame Mr. McConaughey in any way, but I mean, this is like, it almost needs to turn in, like, the end should have just been, we're taking you to the rehab center. You have an addiction.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that is the level he's at that point.
Yeah.
He's a sex addict. And it's sort of, it almost glorifying a sex addict in that way.
Yeah.
It's so strange. God. This is something. Having this discussion with you has made me slightly demote the movie in my ratings, I think.
What are you going for?
Yeah, I'll just go ratings in. Yeah, so I think I'll just go with a 2. I was going to go for a 3, but I think I'll...
If you enjoyed it, that's fair. I was going to go 2.
I didn't love it. Thinking about it now, it's just... I don't know. Emma Stone's the best part. Jennifer Garner, who we barely even talked about, barely in it and doesn't make much of an effort to be like their romance at the end doesn't make sense because they don't seem to even have a conversation other than just like you weren't here but the ghosts told me you should be my wife and she's just like
pretty much
okay and they just I mean it's a bit stupid.
I don't think any of the characters, any of the female characters, any of the ghosts of the girlfriends really get much to do. Emma Stone gets the most to do and it's still fairly little in terms of like actual characterization and stuff. Jennifer Garner's just, I think, completely wasted.
And Michael Douglas.
Like this.
Michael Douglas.
Oh my God.
Well.
Yeah.
We forgot to mention Michael Douglas, who.
Michael Caine was supposed to play that role.
Fair enough.
Fun fact.
I don't think you could have pulled off an American accent. I also think Michael Douglas, much more of a ladies' man than Michael Caine. So, you know. Fits the role perfectly. Best performance in the movie, actually, I think.
You know what? I'd give you that, yeah.
What about you? What were you rating this movie?
Yeah, 2. I'm going to go 2. It's bad, but again, it's not like... There are some good jokes in there. There are some... You know, Matthew's watchable as he is and everything. Emma does, again, really well with the little she's given. I wouldn't watch it again. I wouldn't watch it willingly. But you know, it's not very good, but there's, you know, some of it was all right.
Yeah. I feel
gives it a 4.
You give it a 4? What?
Well, no, which gives it a 4 out of 10.
I zoned out completely there. I was like, what the fuck is this?
No, go on, no.
I'm sorry. I was actually just sort of googling this. I was searching on my computer to get the score page back up and also to get the schedule for next week for the outro. And I was like, he's like, and I'm giving it a 4. And I'm like,
yeah, within 20 seconds, it's completely changed. Your Michael Douglas talk was like best film of the year.
Michael Douglas elevates it to a 4.5. Yeah, no, 4 out of 20, which
10.
Yeah. There you go. 4 out of 10. So
it's late. The math is not quick.
Emma Stone also in the news. I mean, this kind of dates the episode, and it will be quite old news by the time it comes out. But Cruella 2 is happening. By the looks of it, that's going through. Obviously, some up in the air slightly with the lawsuit that was sort of pending. But Cruella.
How are
Cruella
you feeling
2,
about that? I know you're a pretty big Cruella fan.
I'm high on Cruella. I'm so high on Cruella. I've got the steelbook coming from Zavi on Monday. Like, that's how excited I am.
Nice.
I'll send you a picture of it because it is a sexy looking steel. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a sexy looking steelbook.
I haven't.
I'm really excited for that. I think I thought she did. I think it was a really good interpretation of Cruella. I mean, people who went in expecting 101, and I think the best thing of what I did was went in, I didn't expect 101 Dalmatians. I hadn't seen 100. I've still not seen 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah,
but,
neither.
I think me not going in with that kind of expectation of what Cruella is like as a character, I think really helped me because I didn't have this predetermined kind of idea of what Cruella de Vil was.
Yeah.
And I thought she had knocked out the fucking park. I thought she was great in it. Such a fun movie, such a fun role, and such a great role from her. We'll talk about that more in many, many weeks' time. But for now, we can look ahead to Paper Man and Zombieland. 2 seem to be interesting. 1, excellent movie. So at least from what I've seen before. So we'll get to that next week. Paper Man, or Unlikely Hero, as we like to call it here in the UK, for some reason. I don't know why. There we go. So we'll talk to you about that next week. I've been Cameron Howe. You can find me on Twitter at CamzoOG. I do another podcast called Four Eyes and the Giant, which is currently on hiatus. I don't know if that'll come back by the time this comes out. We'll see. But we're doing small weekend reviews now on the channel. So go and check that out in the link below. I also have a website called ohifilms.com where you can find everything else I do. Awais, where can the good people at home find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Awais, always ranting about movies and whatnot. I also write occasionally. www.thefilmbite.com.
Lovely. So yeah, we will see you next week for Paper Man and Zombieland. Have a good one.